when people debate reproductive rights, there's usually some hyperbole. The government will never allow me to do this, fill in the blank, or governments will always make me do this, fill in the blank. But what if the government did have complete control over reproduction? Or what if there was a female-dominated society and men were used only as sperm factories? Or what if children weren't considered people until they learned algebra so they could just be dismissed of until they reached that age? There's a whole subgenre of science fiction movies and books that look at our fears about reproduction. Annalee Newitz is editor-in-chief of io9.com. That's a blog from Gawker Media. She's explored some of the best examples of sci-fi that expose anxieties about having kids and being parents and reproducing. Annalee, welcome.
Hi.
So why did you write this? Was it this current climate debate over, you know, birth control and the right to choose? Was that what prompted this?
Absolutely. Oftentimes, I think political debates are about futurism. They're about things that we're going to do to ourselves in the future. And so it can be very instructive to look at how science fiction deals with those questions.
And all of it is about being controlled, like somebody having an external control over reproduction.
That's right. I mean, a lot of the novels and movies that have been made about reproductive rights, everything from Margaret Atwood's really famous book, Handmaid's Tale, to something like Brave New World, which came out in the 1930s, are all about our fears about how the government will control how we can reproduce, but also, I think more importantly, how the government controls the way that we rear our children.
Let's pick up on Margaret Atwood's 1980s Handmaid's Tale, which was made into a film in the 1990s. It's about what would happen if right-wing Christian politicians take control of North America after a nuclear disaster. You know, so we have a dystopia, women only as good as their ovaries, and these women are given to powerful families to make their children. They become the handmaidens. Here, a woman known only as Of Fred listens to government propaganda at a center for fertile women.
You can give birth.
My precious gift.
You can give birth. You can give birth for our country.
Oh, precious gift.
May the Lord open.
May the Lord open.
Let the handmaids ascend. You will look neither to the right nor to the left. You will remain steadfast and true.
I guess the question that would come out of this, and people have studied Margaret Atwood, you know, why would a government want to control who has the children?
The government has oftentimes been called on to regulate people's relationships with each other, either through marriage or through other kinds of laws. And so I think the fear that's expressed in something like The Handmaid's Tale, which I think is a very real fear, is that the government will take the kind of control they already have much further. And so instead of regulating who can get married, or instead of regulating how adoption happens, the government will regulate reproduction from start to finish. And that's really what The Handmaid's Tale is about, a society where everyone is being controlled, every aspect of their lives.
Well, you know, what's interesting about the best sci-fi is that every inch of the spectrum can have that fear. In other words, you can be on the left and have fears of government and be on the right and have fears of government and claim science fiction as the result of your fear.
That's absolutely true. And there's a whole subgenre of science fiction in this vein. And it got started with Philip K. Dick. He wrote a story in the 70s called The Pre-Persons. He explicitly said it was an anti-abortion story. The premise is that anyone who hasn't yet mastered algebra doesn't really count as a person, and so therefore they can just be summarily executed.
His point was, oh, if you're arbitrarily going to pick a certain, you know, month in the womb, why not pick algebra?
Yeah, I mean, the story is basically about what if abortion laws were taken much farther than they are today? What if abortion could happen outside the womb? How would we decide when people were an adult that couldn't be aborted anymore? And one of the characters in the story actually says, well, I've forgotten algebra, so does that mean I can be retroactively aborted?
What would be an example of a pro-choice science fiction piece?
One of the ones that I think is really interesting is Vonda McIntyre's novel Dream Snake, which was written in the 70s and won pretty much every science fiction award you can win. And it's set in a future where people have complete sort of biotechnological control over their bodies. And as a result, women and men can choose when they want to have children or not. They can simply control when they're fertile. And what's nice about it is it's a scenario where these questions that we're confronting now over reproductive rights are simply irrelevant because we have control over our bodies. We've reached a point where we don't fight over this stuff anymore. We just take control of them.
Well, the questions go from, you know, what would happen if around reproduction to what would happen if around raising children. Let's listen to a little of Gattaca. This is the movie that imagines a future where everyone is genetically engineered for various class positions, so you can't really move around in those positions. This was a 1997 film. In it, DNA, you know, as we said, limits a child. Parents can control how and what their children can be. It's sort of designer babies. And in this scene, a child has been born the old-fashioned way, shall we say romantically, and the new parents are finding out his destiny.
Attention deficit disorder, 89% probability. Heart disorder, 99% probability. Early fatal potential. Life expectancy, 30.2 years.
Oh, well, wouldn't that be awful to know? Annalise, speak more about what this film speaks to.
Well, I think it's not just about abortion or choice. It's about what happens to the child and how the government controls the destiny of that child. And so here, what you're seeing is it's very much a kind of Brave New World scenario where every child is born into a particular class based on their genetics or based on their conditioning. And their entire life is affected by that. But it's really all the result of government intervention in reproduction. That's where it starts, is the government controlling how reproduction happens.
The government doesn't have to be involved to express fears of parenting in film. You mentioned Terminator 2 as one that illustrates, you know, how torn people can be over parenting.
That's right. I think that the whole Terminator series is really interesting because Sarah Connor is really the hero in that series. And part of her heroism is that she's able to fight against a terrifying future while also being a mom. And so what we see is the incredible burden that she has to bear trying to be a mom and be a hero at the same time. And also we see that, of course, the greatest heroism is being able to do both. I think this gets back to what's really important in the reproductive rights debate is really about how we parent children and where children fit into our lives.
Well, just, you know, one last thought. Some people think, really, this is in all these sci-fi movies? I thought it was just about being scared, you know, or trying to imagine the worst future that we can, again, to just be scared. You're saying, though, that these sci-fi films are a place where we put our fears about our very existence, about, you know, reproducing ourselves and reproducing our culture.
One of the truisms about science fiction is that it's really about the present, even though it's about the future. And I think you see that a lot, particularly in science fiction that does touch on these very, very personal sort of survival level questions of how do we continue as a species and how do we treat parenting and child rearing and things like that. So I do think that it's not surprising that even in a piece of pop culture like, say, Terminator 2, which is definitely about truck chases and explosions for sure, you also do see these very real and very poignant fears being played out.
That's Annalise Newitz, editor-in-chief of io9.com, the blog from Gawker Media. Her article, What Does Science Fiction Tell Us About the Future of Reproductive Rights, we'll post it at hereandnow.org. Annalise, thanks.
Thanks a lot for having me.